Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Amen. Yeah. Yo, my peoples, it's Chunks, and we're back here on the Chunk Show. Thank you very much, Lawrence, because there was no one giving me energy there. But to be fair, there's only two people behind camera. But today we are trying something very new. As you know, I told you I'm going to try to be more innovative this season on The Chunk Show. You can see the set. Of course, you saw it on the first ep with Marlon Wayans. But I'm trying to be a bit different. So I've got a new concept here where I've got different people from different walks of life. They're going to be giving me a statement. For example, it could be someone in the school system and say, head teachers are useless. And then I have to hear out what the reason is, hear the explanation. If I like it, I listen to it. If I don't,
click
the buzzer and they have to leave.
Right.
But you guys have to tell me at the end of this episode, who is your favorite guest? Because the max they're going to be getting is hopefully like 10 minutes. If you want to see a full episode with them, then let us know in the comments down below. And the person with the most likes
100,000 rupees.
What does that mean?
It's just a cash prize, isn't it?
No one's gonna cash.
No, there's no cash.
They're gonna feature on a full episode on the Chunk Show. Oh. So it's very important who you guys think is the most interesting, who you wanna hear more from. Can we have the first guest?
I'm kind of interested to hear what these people have got to say, because when you put it in the group, I thought that's quite interesting.
Did you like the concept?
I love the concept. I think talking to different people with different professions,
yes,
and experience is good. Mm.
Well, so, that's why I'm doing it, because shout out to my boy AJ. He actually gave me the idea for this.
What, Shabby?
Shabil, yeah. We spoke about it in the car, and I was like, you know, that's actually a good concept, so why not? Let's do it.
Are you worried you're going to buzzer someone and then they're going to go, but wait, I've not got to the good bit?
Okay, I'm going to get to the good bit then.
Okay, good.
And we have our first guest. Talk to me, brother. What is your name and what is your statement?
So my name is Dr. Rosby. I work in hematology, so that's blood sciences, and also I work in GP as well. So I'm here to talk today about black and ethnic minority health.
Amazing.
So we'll just get straight into it. Did you know that as a black person, you're likely to wait twice as long for an organ than a white person would? you're also two times more likely to die waiting for an organ than a white person would.
Why is that?
Why is that?
Well, the main reason is that we just don't donate enough. So the way the body works is it doesn't like anything foreign. It doesn't like anything foreign. So to get the best
match. So the body's racist. Yeah, I've clocked. No, not what it is.
Why do you look at me when you say that?
No, I'm just sorry. Why are you looking? It's because he's the white person that's taken our organs.
Sure.
But wait, so if you're talking now, for example, I'm a black brother. You're from Caribbean?
No, I'm African.
Africa, so where are you from in Africa? Ghana. Ghana, yeah? So I'm from Somalia. So that's East Africa, West Africa. Mm. So I'm saying, for example, would my liver work with you? Or how does it work? Or does Lawrence's, because he's a white man?
So it's within communities. So we find that ethnically matched donation and blood do better. You have to try and match things as well as you can. The most things will do well, but in order to make sure it's a perfect and great match, as great as it can be, because medicine is 100%, we have to make sure that things are matched well. And we know ethically matched donations do better.
Okay.
Wow. So just with that then, so you could put a black man's liver in a white guy vice versa.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And it would be fine.
It would be fine. But to find the perfect match and to find as close to perfect as humanly possible, you want people within the same race to be donated.
So what's the difference then? Would you just kind of have less functionality out of your liver or what?
No, it's more, here's where it gets into a bit of a tricky science. So in everything we donate, it has a certain amount of what we call antigens. So antigens, to simplify it down, is like, imagine a flag being waved.
Yeah.
Your body says, I don't like that flag very much. I like this flag better. If it likes this flag better, you're less likely to get a huge immune response. Most flags you can get away with, but we know that within populations, some flags plop up that some people just don't tolerate well. Mm. And within different ethnic groups, you have better flags that are compatible with other people. And that's why we require more. That's why the matching process for ethnic minorities is more kind of...
So is it as simple as if we're from the same country, it'll be more likely that it works?
More likely. Not entirely, but medicine is about probability. Nothing's 100%.
Of course,
more
of course.
Likely.
But if we're talking... Okay, I don't know if you could, but is it like a percentage thing where, for example, a man from Scotland is trying to give his organ to a man from Ghana compared to a man from Ghana trying to give an organ to a man from Ghana? Like, what's the percentage difference? Or is it not like quantified?
There's no strict percentage difference that I know of anyway, but we do know that there is more likely to be compatibility with ethnic groups than
And why are black people not... What, is that a thing where you have to die in order to give away your organs? Because like, I can't just give you my liver, because I'm using it. You
know exactly.
I
mean?
So how does it work?
Yeah, so to donate organs, it is on the when you die. So we do very strict medical testing to ensure death of the person before we can discuss organ donation.
Okay.
And obviously it happens with families.
Okay.
So normally the families have to make the decision as to whether they're happy to donate organs. So the register at the moment is actually an opt-out. So you have to say, I don't want to do so.
So you're already in?
Yeah, so you're already in. You're already in. So
they don't ask permission.
But specifically, at that process, your family still does have a say if they want to let your organs go or not. And that can be quite tricky. Because imagine you said, I'm happy for always me donate, but your family don't know that. They're going to say, nah, let's keep Chunks' stuff in there.
Let's not
give it away.
Okay.
Is that also cultural as well? I mean, like just black-white split. There's probably a bunch of white people who are Christian who think, I want to go to heaven with all my organs or whatever.
Exactly. There are a lot of cultural and religious reasons why people don't do so. But the organ donation NHS site actually has a lot of good research on what people... the cultural barriers and have it broken down in various different religions. I don't think there's any religion on there that you look at that says outrightly, we do not allow donation.
Yeah, Islamically, I wouldn't know. Obviously, I'm not going to speak on it because I don't know, but is it allowed? I'll do some research and find out.
There's also, I think some people get a bit funny about different organs, right? Like I was having this conversation with my wife and I said,
you have a conversation with your wife about organs. I love that, man. No, it's good because that's just when you've got nothing left to speak
about.
Years
of marriage, you just turn to her and you go, you know, I'm really thinking about donating my heart. So, she was like, you should stop at the eyes. Just because, you know, keep the face kind of thing.
Wait, you can give away eyes?
Yeah, you can give away quite a lot of your organs. Some of the organs, specific organs, are not under donation threshold, especially circumstances, but you can give away things like eyes, liver, kidneys.
Heart. Okay.
The full list is on the NHS website. It goes, so you can just see everything.
Okay.
So why is there this split in people?
So I think there's a lot of cultural barriers. Research has shown that, you know, there's a lot of mistrust amongst ethnic minorities and black people against healthcare in general. Not through the fault of their own. It's just things have been done poorly in the past and there's a lot of mistrust.
Is this in the UK? Sorry, just to cut you off, but is this only in the UK, or is this like a global thing? Situation. Like, yeah, in, you know, so obviously there's more countries where there's more black people. Are black people better cared for in countries which are predominantly black than in the UK, where you would say there's historically subjugation of the people?
So we're talking specifically organ donation in this particular circumstance. We're going, if you speak about care of black people in other healthcare settings, we go into like a different...
Yeah, that's like, not your bag, so I don't want to talk about
it. We can talk about it, but that's a whole episode in itself.
Which is possible if you guys let me know in the comments if you like.
But in terms of donation, there's a lot of cultural barriers, a lot of mistrust, and rightly so over time. Research has been done poorly over the hundreds of years on ethnic minorities, and now we're starting to see the effects of the mistrust.
The mistrust thing, I can hear where they're coming from, because I remember seeing stats, left, right, and center, for example, a black pregnant lady is more likely to die than a white pregnant lady. And it's like, I understand the organ situation because that's our own fault for not giving up our organs. But why is a black lady more likely to die when you're just, you know what I mean? Like, what's the situation? Unless they're built different, I don't know. Of course, that's where you're...
No. So there's a lot of research being done as to why this is going on. There's racial disparities across the board that the NHS is slowly trying to weed out. I mean, sickle cell is another condition whereby people aren't treated how they should be because it's a pain condition, but it's invisible as well. So for those that don't know, sickle cell is misshapen red blood cells, that formula shape of like a C shape. And as it goes through your blood cells, it blocks certain areas that can cause loads of complications. But the main complication it causes is sickle cell crisis, where they get pain. And the problem with that is pain is an invisible symptom. If you sit there telling me I got pain 10 out of 10, as a doctor, I have to listen to that, but I have to empathize with you in order to treat pain. If you don't empathize with a person, you can't treat it properly, right? Yeah. And that's one of the problems that now the NHS is doing a lot of work to try and stamp out some of these biases and to ensure that across the board, for all these conditions where healthcare disparities exist, we're trying to stamp it out and treat properly. So there's a lot of work being done. Of course, things aren't perfect, but there's a lot of work being done in order to make sure. And I think one step that we can do as minorities is engage more. So be more involved in the research. A lot of medications are tested on, you know, white people, but it's not tested on us because we're scared to be part of the clinical trials.
As we should, I can't lie to you, bro.
Is that not also part of it, like, not to get too political about it, but there is a lot of mistrust now in, just in general, in the medical system.
Exactly.
Because there are a lot of powerful people. COVID, all that stuff. I think after that, I went left.
How things were marketed, how things were discussed has caused a lot of mistrust. But across the board, there are people trying to do really well.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
And sometimes research isn't always about medication. It can be about how many times do we need to scan you to make sure you don't have cancer. It can be how many times we have to look in a diabetic person's eyes to make sure that they don't go blind and we can treat early enough. It's not just have to be about popping pills and seeing if something crazy happens, which is not what research is anyway. Because normally when we do the trials that involve medication, the criteria is very stringent. The observations are very strict. You'll get better care than you probably ever will. And here we always make sure that things are safe before we give to anybody. So it's quite strict. But of course, people have mistrust, and it's our job as doctors, nurses, researchers to try and break down those barriers and find out what they are in order to improve the healthcare.
So be honest then, what was your first reaction when you think about donating an organ, so to speak?
Well, I'm part of the problem, I guess, because it's kind of like I feel a bit uneasy about that, if I'm being honest, just because, again, I don't know my religious beliefs on that, and I'd have to do research regarding that, because obviously I abide by my religion before anything. So it's like a thing where if it's Islamically allowed, then potentially I'd be more open for it. But if not, then I kind of just cut it off there, you know, obviously. But in my head, I'm thinking, if I can help out somebody else, especially a family member, where, for example, 10 years after I die, my brother needs a liver. And it's kind of like, how does, can you store my liver for 10 years?
So the interesting thing is, this conversation is quite interesting, because look at this. If you were to need one, you would take it though.
Me?
Yeah. If you were 100%. To need
it, but I'll pay isn't whatever. Isn't it true to say though, there are some people in the world who they don't take organ donation because they just believe it's kind of the will of the God that they believe in.
Yeah, there are some cultures. We have to respect that.
And that could be relevant Islamically, but I don't know.
Yeah, again, like I said, I'm going to have to do research because today I'm learning.
But sorry, also, if you're going to be dead before we take the organs, right? What is the concern? You're not going to need them where you're going. I guess that's the question to ask.
That's what I'm getting at.
The fear is, what exactly would you say would be the fear?
Do you need your kidneys in paradise?
Hence, you know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to get at is, if it's Islamically allowed, I could give it. But then also, how long? So, for example, I die in 2025 and I give most of my organs up. When does it stop being effective? When can it stop being like usable?
So we do it almost straight away. So what happens is, someone is dying, you do a full assessment. So brain, heart, everything is assessed fully to say this person is definitely going to die. We're not going to harvest it early. And it's that stage.
I've got an issue with that though. Tell me. Because there's a lot of times, for example, somebody will come and be like, you have 2 weeks left, and they end up living for another 2 years.
No, that's different. So you don't get, no treatment stops. So your treatment required to keep you alive will continue.
What if the treatment impacts that organ that you would donate?
Then you can't.
You can't donate it.
Yeah. Right, if, for example, you were to die of a big infection, for example, you can assume that the organs are going to be damaged. So we can't give. It has to be somebody who is dying from in a way that we can harvest the organs properly. And they have to be dying. They have to be dead. Wow. There's no such thing as, no, we're not going to treat you because we want to keep you.
Well, yeah, we like that heart of yours. So maybe we just give you half the medicine.
Exactly. That doesn't exist in NHS.
That's a difficult discussion though, isn't it? Because there are places in America where there are literal vans that will go to harvest organs from people when they're dying.
See, I never heard of that.
Okay. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. Like that might be a good thing. Mm. It's an awkward conversation when someone's dying. But then you go to them or their family and you go, exactly. So about this good liver that's sitting there.
Exactly. That's why it's important for us to have the discussions with our families kind of early. Just see what your family think about it. I think if there's one thing people take away from today, from this conversation, it's just have a conversation about it. What do you think about organ donation? What are your fears? Go, if your fears are, like you said, religious fears.
Yeah, that's the number one. Yeah.
Just go away and discuss it. If it doesn't exist, doesn't impede what your religion believes, then you remove a barrier. That's all people should take away from this, I would say.
Okay.
I think it's an important conversation to have, especially since we need it, you know?
Wow, that was...
So, last thing from me here, what would you say to all the black people watching and suggest them to do? Not necessarily force, because obviously if someone don't want to do anything, they're not going to do it.
Of course. I think to start off, have the conversation with everybody. You know, if there's something you're considering, not sure about, do the research, have the conversation, you know.
Is that over dinner or like, how would you suggest you start that? It's sort of like, you got some healthy kidneys there. Like, would you give those away?
Wherever feels best to have the conversation. Right. I think wherever is comfortable to you to have a conversation. It's not an easy conversation to have. I couldn't imagine talking to my mum about this. But I think we're getting to an age where we all want to live longer. We all want to do well. We all want to support other people. And we know as a community that we're struggling. I mean, the stats I just said to you guys shows that we're struggling. So these conversations, even if it just brings 10 people, 100 people, you're looking at one person looking to save 9 people's lives, you know? Yeah. It's a lot. So 10 people from this say, yeah, I want to do this. You look at 90 people just like that. Exactly, easy.
Yeah, a lot of people are thinking about the giving of the organ, but they're not necessarily thinking about the person that's sitting there maybe waiting for, like, well, they can wait for ages, right? Yeah.
But also, somebody has to be very selfless, because they don't get to see what their organ has done for this person, because they're gone and this person is now living on an extra X amount of years because of them.
But you can donate just one kidney, right? But you could still be alive and donate one kidney.
Yeah, you can.
So you could do it. There are some cases. I'm not down for that. You can't donate half.
Unless it's my family, I'm not down for that.
You got a big heart though.
And the interesting thing is, we talk about donation, we can go a simpler form, blood donation. That one is easy giving.
That I can do. I've done it.
It's weird seeing your blood though, isn't it?
No, it's purple, you know, it ain't red. I don't know why people talk about it. I remember when it goes deep in there, I just don't want to see it. And they were just taking loads from me nonstop. Yeah, thank you. I said, are you sure I can walk after this?
Yeah, like, just have a biscuit and a tea and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I was like, that's a bit mad. So, but that's one thing I definitely would push on to the black people is just like to give blood, because obviously that's very important. I feel like that's not a thing that we do often either.
Exactly. And it's the same stats again. If black people donating blood means there's a certain blood group that black people hold, which is called the RO blood group, that we hold, that we can donate to get better matches for those receiving.
See that? You know, black people, because and my blood special as well, because you see mosquitoes love me,
love you.
So I must have something in there,
right? That doesn't really tempt me to want your blood in my body, because like I just sort of think, okay, maybe the mosquitoes are going to eat me more. But same time, fair if enough. I'm still alive, I'll take it.
Yeah. And to give you guys a good case study, I mean, on Tuesdays I prescribe 10 bags of blood for one person every 6 weeks, and I have about 5 of those patients that come in every single Tuesday. So how much we prescribe? That's a lot.
Wow.
That's a lot of us. Yeah. 10 separate people donating to keep someone with sickle cell alive.
I'm going to be the 11th person. I'm going to come down, generally, man.
Amazing.
I didn't buzz you out because I think it was an incredible conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
If it's something that you guys want to see more of, I'm hoping that you'll come down again and be happy to do a whole episode.
Happy to have some hacks and stuff.
Yeah, man. Really appreciate that, bro. Thank you so much, bro.
No problem.
My guy, legend, man. Thank you.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow. That was cool, man.
What a start, right?
That was cool, man.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have guest number 2, who is...
Please tell us your name and your statement, brother.
My name's Tarazi, and I'm here to say that the train strikes were a good idea.
Okay, good. Mm. Whoa.
I'm going to click that. Whoa. So train strikes are a good idea.
Like you ever get the train anymore.
No, I don't. The traffic's worse. I drive.
Oh,
brother, I can't lie to you. I've never clicked this button, I'm close. Talk to me.
Okay, cool. So basically, yeah, it's more about the greater good, right? So when the train strikes, they happen, right? In the moment, you're angry. There's traffic, there's this, there's that. But you need to understand, yeah, these are people that they wake up every day. They do a service to everyone. Yeah. And like, they're getting underpaid. That's the reality of it. So when they striking is not the first thing they do. Striking, there's a level to striking.
Yeah,
so they go through bare negotiations so much before they're like, they snap and they're like, strike.
Talk to me, what do you do for a job?
So I work in transport planning.
So you're part of DFO.
I thought he was going to say train driver.
So wait, you've got nothing to do with TFO?
We work with TFO. I can't say the company, but I work
with TFO. Of course not, but you work with TFO.
Yeah.
Do you get a pay rise when they go on these strikes?
Well, no, this is what I'm saying. So when... There's like a whole different part to it. So when the train drivers, they get a pay rise from the government, everyone else, the private sector also has to match those pay rises, do you understand?
Okay.
And in terms of like societally, wage stagnation has been there from 2008. Like wages haven't grown since 2008.
Yeah.
So from 2008, people haven't really had a pay rise. They've had 5% here, 4% here, but they haven't really had anything.
Mm. So cost of living has gone
cost
way
of
higher
living
than
way higher. Do you understand? So now when a train driver, he's gone home, he's sitting there thinking, okay, cool, I might be getting this 5% pay rise, but cost of living is 15%. Do you understand? So 10%, he's paying out of his pocket.
Yeah.
So when they're just sitting there, of course you're going to be like, I'm not working. For a week, I'm not working. I'm causing disruption. And this is what I'm saying. Like when you said the whole traffic thing, I get it. It's anger, but I think it's misdirected. The people that can control is the government. That's it. When you give up your control of labor, you're not giving it up. You're not controlling how much you get paid. You're not controlling the situation that you're working in.
But when we're talking about strikes though, bro, I feel like the only people that I see strike are train drivers. Like, for example, if Docs has decided, which is more...
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by 30 days.
Stop it!
They don't know your body, only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
More important, by the way, if a doctor decided I'm not going into work because I don't like how much I'm getting paid, I feel like that's fair, but it also is very selfish because at the end of the day, a doctor in America, I remember the comparisons are ridiculous. Like, for example, I remember like a consultant in London for a brain surgeon's getting like 150 in the UK, which sounds like a lot of money. But if you look in the same job in America, they're getting like 800 grand a year.
Yeah.
So it's like a thing where I feel like that's very unfair because this doctor, which is saving lives in the UK, can just go abroad and do his own thing there and get the same money. So why is it that doctors aren't doing it? Teachers aren't doing it?
Well, they are.
But no, but I'm saying the difference in terms of why is a train strike much more louder in our face than we see it?
I think you just see it. Sorry, you can answer.
No, because I can't lie. What you're going to say is probably what I'm going
to
say.
Go on, but you're much more interested.
I'm trying to learn, bro. Because this is what it is, yeah? So you're saying that doctors and teachers obviously don't strike, yeah?
But not necessarily they don't, but it's obviously not going to be as regular as a train driver.
Of course not. And obviously a doctor's role within society is different to a train driver's role within society.
Yeah.
But you said it yourself. The train drivers went on strike for, what was it, 4 days, 5 days? Yeah. London was I was sitting in the Marble Arch here. I was looking at the chaos. It was a movie to me.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere without the tube.
Yeah.
And this is just one little system, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's all it is. And you can't go anywhere.
Okay.
Like, for me, that shows their importance.
No, I know they're important.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of like, how much are they getting paid a year?
So
train drivers. I feel like they get paid handsomely. That's what I heard.
Guess.
If I was to guess, do you know it or not?
Well, I have a rough idea.
Okay, so if I was the guest, I hear 65 a year?
That's if you're properly experienced.
Okay.
So that's on the high end. On average, it's about 35, 40K.
35,000 for a train driver?
35, 40K. Last time I checked.
They probably get a train to work. Like
that's ridiculous. Okay, cool. They need
Do you understand? Like,
and this is monopoly as well, so you have the whole sector on smash. You've got more money to give.
You also need to understand, that in our country, it's not like France. The people own their railways. In this country, we don't.
Yeah, of course.
So I don't know if people know this. The Elizabeth Line isn't even owned by TfL.
Well,
it's owned by TfL, but it's ran by MTR, which is a Hong Kong company. London Overground is operated by TfL, but it's ran and owned by a German company. So we don't even own our own.
Yeah, but we're like that. We're dumb. I saw we gave away Heathrow the other day.
Yeah. TfL is core owned by
Terminal 5's
Qatar.
Great.
Huh?
Terminal 5's great. We should own that. Do you know what I mean?
How about that?
We should own right that. There?
I think some of TfL is owned by Qatar. Most of London's owned by Qatar. Like, no, but this is what I'm saying. Like, these people are taking dividends out of our own, like,
what's
systems.
The reason, though?
We can go
privatization.
Back to Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah. He's pointing to me because he knows how I feel
about
that.
I listen to Lawrence. Yes.
Yeah. what's wrong with Margaret?
Margaret?
That's before my time.
Where do we start?
Huh? Are that bad?
He's a Liverpool fan, isn't it? So
I have no understanding.
In that era, the understanding was that privatization would improve the amount of money that you could make out of the system, and that if we kept owning it, basically it wasn't being run properly. So the only real available solution was privatization
because
wasn't really another alternative.
Is that bad?
It depends on what your perspective is. No, I would personally prefer that our country would own things, but that's a political position.
Yeah.
Let although, me know, I want somebody that knows about privatization. That would be a nice little segment.
So the problem is a lot of people think it's a political position because it's associated with the left wing.
Yeah.
Whereas actually there are also a lot of right wing countries or people who lean right that also have publicly owned stuff. France is predominantly quite a right wing country, but they own a lot of their own stuff.
Yeah.
And in the UK, we think of it as a left-wing thing. Yeah. And so a lot of people are against it. And there are also a lot of millionaires and billionaires right now, or people who are funded by millionaires and billionaires who are currently encouraging us to hate migrants, whereas actually their real agenda is to take control of our private industries and our public industries in order to make money from the British public, which is what private people currently do.
Fair enough. I like that, Lawrence, by the way. You know, look quite a bit. What I would say is, do the government have more money to give these train drivers?
Well,
like, is there money there?
I'm saying, this is where it could go a bit left. I'm saying if you can give money for all of these military operations around the world, all of this nonsense that the government are doing, 10k a year is doable. Do you understand that?
Wait, it's not 10k a year.
No, but I'm saying like, okay, 10%.
Yeah,
5%.
Yeah,
that's like, doable. Like, it's very doable. The amount of money this country wastes, like, you see in the background, I work in consultancy, you work in the background sometimes, you're like, bruv, like, some of these government, like local governments, they are splurging money. Like, this could all go back to the people, but it's just being wasted on nonsense. Like,
So when train drivers are doing their strikes, it's good because they get their money increased, and who else gets their
everyone
money
else. So if you think about that, like this, you mentioned doctors earlier, yeah. If the train drivers get their increase, government's gonna be like, okay, well, we've got to increase theirs, and we've got to increase theirs.
But that's why they won't do it.
But this is what I'm saying is a good thing, because if you're pushing for an increase for train drivers, the train drivers aren't standing there like, just us. They're thinking about everyone else around them. So when they're on the picket line and they're outside London Bridge Station, they're like, we don't want to work today. They're not doing it just for them. They're doing it for everyone else. They're doing it for the doctors, the teachers, all of the public sector workers.
So all the public sector workers get an increase?
And they have to. They kind of have to. Because,
okay.
Do you understand?
Well, talk to me then, because I didn't know.
You're about to press that button.
No. Hence the reason I didn't. Because at the end of the day, what this podcast today is about, it's about learning things.
Okay.
Because now, from my point of view, I see these train drivers going on strikes. My 30-minute journey is now hour and 20 minutes, generally. Yeah. So I go to the gym, yeah? In and around, you know what I mean? Not even trying to talk.
That area.
Yeah. But them areas there. Usually 30-minute drive from my bits. On my life that week, every day, hour 15, oh, hour 20. So
you don't have to worry, though. Your driver won't charge you anymore.
First of all, I drive my own car. Second of all, yeah, that was a good joke.
Yeah.
But third of all, it's genuinely, hand on heart, I was like, you look, I just see this all the time. And it's like, from my point of view, you get the raise, then 2 months later, you want to talk about another raise. So it's like, come on, man, you lot are taking a piss. But this is why it's nice to have, what's your name, my brother?
Tarazi,
to come true and actually teach, man. Because now, keep striking.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's keep going. I'm going to jump on the electric bike and go in between the gaps.
Sorry, on the side thing, yeah, I see people complaining, like the able-bodied men complaining about the strikes. You can just hop on the line bike.
No, but I like that. Just trying to say. So yeah, you know what? Keep striking, my dogs, man.
Thank you, man.
That was okay.
Because it wasn't 10 minutes, but I had to cut it.
There will be some people politically who are upset.
Nah, generally,
bro.
I like that, man. I appreciate it, man.
I was outside and I was like, this is going to cause a stir.
Yeah, I like it.
Tarazi is a great name as well. Where's that name from?
Thank you. I'm Algerian, but I don't know if it's Algerian.
Tarazi is such a sick name, isn't it?
Thank you, man.
I'm keeping that name back in my mind.
I'm here sitting down like I'm going to finish, bro.
I'm Lawrence, and I just want to say I think podcast producers should be paid more.
Get out.
Guest number...
Tres. Three in Spanish. Talk to me, my boy. What is your name and what is your statement?
Hi, I'm Dr. Ads.
Doctor, we had one before, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no
two
way.
Doctors. Yeah, two doctors today. Yeah. Rotted.
No
I'm going to talk to you after. I got leg issues. So me and you, you know, which
I've got you, man.
Talk to me, though. What is your statement, bro?
Okay, so obviously we've been seeing Mounjaro, Ozempic, but do we know where it's actually come from?
Oh, that's a good statement.
Are you going to tell
that?
Us?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
So, okay, what are you basically trying to say, whether it's dangerous or not?
No, where did it originate from?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
let's go. Where did it actually originate from?
There's a place called
Mounjaro. No, actually,
Killer
that's
Mounjaro.
A good guess.
And then what about Ozempic then?
No, that's actually a good guess. So, it actually originated. So, scientists found out there was a lizard in Arizona, and Mexico. So this lizard, there's a venomous lizard called a Gillick monster. Yeah. So it would go months without eating. And they thought, okay, how is this lizard regulating its sugar? How's it keeping its energy? And they found a hormone in its saliva. Okay. And with this hormone, it keeps them full, basically. And they can go months without eating, sometimes. Yeah, months without eating, really.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, but I'm saying, so from that, wait. So this lizard in Arizona has saliva that basically, they've seen some things in that saliva that basically has, where it can go months without living, months without eating, right?
Yeah, months without eating. So how we link that to Ozempic and all of these, so they're called GLP-1 agonists. So how it links to that is, so in our body, we have a hormone called GLP-1.
Yeah.
And these, when this is actually stimulated, it can keep us full. So that's how it all came from. So does it trick you
to think you're full?
Exactly. That's right. Literally what it is. So once it's stimulated, the body basically, it tricks us to be full, and basically you go throughout the whole day without eating.
So are we having lizard saliva in our munch, in our are we getting that injected into us?
No, not quite lizard, but it'll be the GLP-1s.
So the GLP-1s.
So that's what we have.
Where are they? We have it.
We have it already, naturally.
Stimulating.
Exactly.
And how do you do that?
So when we eat, so your insulin goes up.
Yeah.
This GLP-1 gets released.
Yeah.
And that's how we feel full.
Okay.
And that's where that comes from. That's where that sensation actually comes from.
But these injections make the GLP-1 just
activate. Exactly. So it just releases it and boom, there we are. We are full.
And is that, has that medically been tested?
Yeah. So medically tested, 100%. So this with the lizard, that was in the 90s. And then they released the first medication, the GLP-1 agonist, in the early 2000s. And today now, obviously, everyone's taking it.
Is everyone taking it? Because I see...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Quite a few people suddenly just popping up. Oh, I'm skinny.
Yeah, so that's the problem though. It's not regulated. So there's actually, it's quite rigid. So if you come to the NHS, right, we have to make sure that you fit certain criteria with the GLP-1 agonist.
Okay.
But the only problem is now is that you can go to a private... You can get private prescriptions.
Right. From pharmacies and that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not as regulated, to be honest with you. So you might find someone that's slim, or maybe they don't need to take it necessarily. They'll be on these medications. And that's when it becomes an issue. Really.
We are seeing.
Yeah, I'm seeing people talk about side effects and shit as well. Though. People saying my heart and my liver and my kidney and all this kind of stuff is so... I feel like it's giving me that vaccination vibes, you know, like with COVID vaccines. I remember back in the day, people were saying, yeah, I should take them. You have to take them.
Yeah.
Then years later, AstraZeneca is getting sued and this person's getting sued. And it's because it wasn't regulated. Because at the end of the day, bro, COVID's come about and you've only been given a certain amount of months to come up with a vaccine that makes you avoid having it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like with medicine, you need years of testing in order to see. Because back in the days, they were saying that smoking cigarettes was good for you.
Until they
found out years later, research, oh, actually it's not. So I'm saying like with what? These vaccine and the flipping Mounjaro and Ozempic and stuff, you're saying, not you, of course, but I'm saying people are saying it's good to take, but with how many years of research? Not enough.
No. So as I said, so this medication's actually been around for ages.
Yeah, from the 90s or early 2000s.
Yeah.
So have rich people been taking this forever and we only just found out about it?
Possibly, yeah.
But was it in the form of an injection?
Yeah. So originally it was actually used for diabetes. So as I said, so say you come to the NHS, you have to have certain criteria to fit this, to have the medication.
Yeah.
So you have to have like a BMI over 40 and you have to have like another comorbidity like high blood pressure or high cholesterol. And then you can be given this medication. Whereas now, but before you're actually given this medication, we should actually encourage you first. Lifestyle advice, exercise,
nutritionist,
you know, all of that stuff first before we get to medication. And that's, generally speaking, that's how it should always be. So that's the problem when it's not regulated, we're skipping those steps. And why are we skipping those steps? And now we see young girls coming in to A&E, or whatever, young girls, young boys coming in and having loads of side effects from this because they're getting private prescriptions.
Oh, okay. Wow. Then so is it like a thing where people are just taking it without actually going through the proper methods?
Yeah, proper so ways? Exactly. So you can go on these private prescriptions and listen, don't do this at home.
No,
no, of course not. Yeah,
yeah. So you can go on these websites and they'll put in false information, essentially.
Wow.
And then really you can actually be given these.
So, okay, then for somebody that actually does pass all the tests, quote unquote, and they actually are the person to ready to take the Ozempics or the Mounjaros and stuff.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that there's not going to be side effects for them?
No, no. So there are side effects. So 100% there are side effects.
Do you know what they are?
So one of the big ones, but it's actually quite rare, is pancreatitis. Okay, pancreatitis. Oh, so
we've all thought it.
I knew it was pancreatitis.
Yeah, I knew that. That's a really, so that's a very rare one, man. All right.
Yeah, but it attacks the pancreas, right?
Yeah, that's my favorite underground station.
He knows, in the wrong job.
No, I need to be a doctor, but just come back for the medical school. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so pancreatitis, what does it mean?
Yeah, so basically it's inflammation to your pancreas. It's very dangerous. It's a medical emergency. Okay, it's an emergency and
it can just blow up in the stomach in that.
Literally, yeah, it can cause many problems and yeah, sometimes you even need surgery for this.
Okay.
Other side effects will be gastrointestinal ones, so diarrhea, vomiting. So I see this all the time, actually.
Really?
This is the most common presentation for this. In A&E, we see them coming in with diarrhea, vomiting, and usually as a result of them increasing
the dose
too quickly. So usually you'll start on like a 2.5 milligrams, but then they'll try to increase it quite quickly.
Is that because they want to see results quicker?
Exactly. Yeah, so some people are rushing it.
You're basically starving yourself.
Yeah, literally.
But what I've learned from that, because I was watching a documentary on Netflix called The Biggest Loser. I don't know if you remember that show back in the days where people would lose weight very quickly, drastically.
Okay.
But what ends up happening is after that, when you go back to eating normally, you gain weight double the speed because of the fact that something got to do with metabolism. I don't know, obviously, the hoo-ha about it.
Yeah.
But when you're on these Ozempics and Mounjaros and then you slightly wean yourself off of it, when you start eating back normally, you gain weight quicker.
Now you can do, but it's not all doom and gloom, these medications, by the way.
Okay,
there's many, many positive stuff, and that's why we give it for people with diabetes, by the way. So it'll protect your heart, and obviously it'll increase it'll make you have a better life, essentially.
Yeah, okay, these medications. You can walk up, like, you know what I mean? So for somebody that's been like 300 kg or something and finds it difficult to walk on their knees, on their Achilles and all those ligaments and stuff, I feel like once having maybe Mounjaro's epic for a year, you lose about 150 kilos.
Yeah, yeah.
I can get that you now are able to walk about and
stuff. Yeah, it'll give you a better way of living.
But what I'm saying is you've improved your lifestyle, but I feel like inside could potentially be worse off.
Yeah, so that's the issue. So obviously, as a result of not eating, you're going to be depriving yourself of certain nutrients. So you're going to be losing a lot of muscle mass, etc. So that's why we encourage, if you do start this, should go gym, but where are you going to get the energy for the gym as well? Because you're not eating.
Like you're not hungry though.
Yeah, you're not hungry, exactly. So you're not going to have the energy for the gym, but you should actually be increasing your protein intake when on the Mounjaro. So that's how you sort of counter it.
So based off of, obviously, and I respect the fact that you said the first thing we do suggest is a lifestyle change and to try to do that. What is the best diet out there? Do you know?
So there's no best diet, okay? All right. Usually they will say it's the Mediterranean diet.
Yeah.
But
it's a fun one.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So what is that?
It's fun.
Yeah. So it's like a mixture of everything, okay? You want to get your proteins, your salads, a bit of carbs, okay? This is always the best, but I think it's not a one shoe fits all.
It depends.
So if you're from like an Asian background or African background where you'd be more prone to maybe belly fat, you want to maybe reduce more of the carbs and increase your protein intake. Whereas if you're from like a European background, maybe you can afford to eat a bit more carbs. So it depends. It's not a one shoe fits all.
It depends on the background.
Okay. Depends on, yeah.
This is really interesting. We've spoken to some fascinating people today.
Yeah, last thing that I'd add on this is, not necessarily would you recommend, but is Mounjaro and Ozempic good overall?
So overall, I'd say it's good, yes.
Okay.
But just make sure you fit the criteria. And I think you should always have an end goal. You don't want to be taking it forever. So have a goal and then stop it there.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And then when you do wean off of it, Do you, can you start eating normally again, quote unquote? Or?
So you don't want to eat normally, but you want to get into good habits now.
Okay. Okay.
Be in a caloric deficit. So it depends. So as I said, it's not a one shoe fits all for the diet. It depends on your goal as well. Do you want to lose weight? Be obviously in a caloric deficit. Make sure you exercise. Make sure you're taking supplements and make sure you're eating food with good nutritional value.
Perfect.
10,000 steps.
10,000 steps.
I do that.
That's always
you do that. So, guys, let me know in the comments if this is something you want to see a full episode of. Doctor, what's your name?
Yeah, Dr. Ads.
Dr. Ads. Yeah. If you want to see a full ep, then again, you guys know what to do. Comment down below and we can hopefully do a 4%. Depends on what you guys think. But Dr. Ads.
Thank you so much. Lovely meeting you. Very nice to meet you.
If we do a full episode, can we all dress like you dress?
No, just please.
I think you make me feel more comfortable.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we'll all look good together.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll get you some.
Thank you.
Guest number 4. Is it Quattro? Right?
Quattro.
Quattro. Talk to me, my boy. What is your name and what is your statement?
My name is Jay Verma. And my statement is that I'm a touring pianist. I tour around the world, but I have a life-threatening condition.
Ooh.
Do you want us to guess what it is or?
Life-threatening.
Life-threatening.
That's serious.
As in, I don't want to get too dark, but more like terminal.
In certain cases, but I'm kind of here to spread awareness because people wouldn't associate it with being life-threatening.
MS?
No.
Epilepsy?
Yes.
My mum has it.
Really?
Yeah, my mum has epilepsy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not expect that.
Yeah. That's just some little truth there, man. That's the truth. Yeah. So, and she got it from giving birth to me.
Really?
Yeah, because she wanted more kids, but she could only have, the doctor basically said to her that she can't have any more after
me. Oh.
So that's the thing.
Wow.
One sec, Lawrence. A random angry ginger appearance. How you doing? Came in to make a statement. Just get a Red Bull. Yeah, well, go in and hurry up and get out of here, mate.
Sorry.
No worries, mate.
It's all right. We're just having a really sensitive conversation, mate.
he's literally talking about dying and you're just talking
Yeah, nah.
Bye, Ginge.
May my fucking soul and God bless them.
Ginge. Anyway. So, Jay, talk to me, bro. You've got epilepsy and you're a touring pianist. What do you want to spread? Like, what's the awareness that you want to spread to people?
Well, I think people don't understand epilepsy because I think it's not spoke about too much. No. And I think when you have epilepsy, you mentioned that your mom has it.
Yeah.
Like you appear normal, whatever normal means, but like in the sense that like, if you talk to me, you wouldn't know that I've got this condition. And so I want people to know that firstly, if they have epilepsy, that you're seen, but also just, I wanted to share what it's like to live with it when you're touring.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Specifically, so for example, I rock up to a random country with an artist on tour. First thing I've got to do when I get to the hotel, everyone gets to just sleep, jet lagged off. They just want to lie down. I've got to go to the person at reception in some random language and try and hustle a second room key. The second room key so I can give it to maybe the drummer in the band or maybe the artist, maybe the rapper and say, bro, you've got to have this. So it's little like daily admin things and daily things that I'm doing.
What for? Why are they getting the second key?
Because I have nocturnal grand mal seizures. Nocturnal meaning night.
Yep.
Grand mal meaning big bad in French.
Okay.
Big bad. So essentially, I'm prone to having seizures in my sleep. Something happens when I enter REM sleep.
REM, yes. Deep sleep, yeah.
Yeah. And so when I sleep by myself on tour, I've got to now, maybe I'm touring with Cleo Soul or Olivia or Sam Ryder or one of these people. Luckily, I've got friends in those bands, or maybe I'm friends with the artist, but I need to know that I'm safe at night. So I wear this watch, a very special watch that I'm not wearing right now, but but it's like my Ben 10 watch. And this watch, basically, it can tell when I'm having a seizure. So if there's any awareness I want to spread, is that if you're epileptic and you're watching, buy an Empatica watch. I'm not even sponsored by these men.
Yeah.
But if you wear their watch, it can tell when you're having a seizure and it can call everyone.
Was it your heart rate that it's connected to? What is? How can it tell that you're having a seizure?
Typically, when you have a seizure, especially the grand mal one, you convulse.
Okay.
And so the movement and
convulse
probably...
Convulse meaning for people?
That like your body's moving. So I dislocate my shoulder, you know? But...
Can you feel that when you're like...
Mm-mm. You wake up in an ambulance, God willing, if someone calls an ambulance, then, which I've been lucky that I've always been around people if it's happened, then you wake up in an ambulance and then you're not there for a few hours. I've got epilepsy in the left side of my brain, so my right body goes mad. That's just how it works. So if you've got left brain epilepsy, right shoulder dislocate, right tongue messed up, you know?
Flipping hell.
But then I might have to play a show 2 days later. Or maybe the next day. But that's because I'm crazy though.
And is that, is that possible? Can you just go out there and just sort of do it? Or is it like, you might feel a little groggy?
That's the message I want to bring is... You know, I don't want to come here on some morbid vibe. I want to say basically that it hasn't stopped me. I went to Guildhall, which is one of the most prestigious music schools in the world. It's like the Hogwarts of music, you know? One guy per instrument kind of vibe. Toured with all these artists, living a full life by the grace of God. So I'm feeling blessed. So my message is more, if you're watching and you don't have epilepsy, just know that there's people, just if you're just walking in Central, like lots of people have it. Maybe AI will come and fix it though. I'm not into AI, but I will say that apparently AI is going to come for epilepsy quite quick.
Okay, man. Well, there you
that
go,
was
bro.
Genuinely really inspiring.
Thanks for the information, just because I didn't know much about epilepsy. I just thought it was the flashing lights thing. So the fact that there's different types, something we can learn. And obviously for people that do have epilepsy, don't let it discourage you. Don't let it be the reason that you feel like you can't do things, because Jay's an example.
They can be a touring musician. Yeah, that's probably like one of the coolest jobs, right?
Yeah, probably the least likely job for someone with epilepsy. So if you can do that, maybe you can do most things.
Yeah, totally.
Perfect, man. Thank you so much, bro. Appreciate you for having you on, brother. And if you guys want to see a full ep, then let us know in the comments that this is probably your favorite guest out of the next five or four we have. So
lovely to meet you, man.
Appreciate it, bro. Very nice to meet you, bro.
Very nice. Number five.
Number five. It is the last person today. What?
Cinco.
Yes, five, Cinco. Yeah. Talk to me, bro. What is your name and what is your statement?
So my name is Luke. I'm a personal trainer. And my statement is your weight, your confidence, and how you feel about yourself is always in your control.
Oh, I really like that, you know.
This is a kind of a subject that you've covered over the last few years.
Yeah, no. First of all, how is it in my control if I have... What's the insecurities?
I think it has to be broken down into... what's in your control and what's your circumstance, and maybe separating the two. Some things are out of your control, but there's definitely going to be things that are in your control. And I think no matter how small or big they are, if you can execute those consistently, you can make a positive change. Instead of going, oh, I have this, so I can't. I think when you can get out of that mindset and find more solutions, it's possible.
So in terms of the solutions, like what, because obviously I'll be honest, I used to weigh 155 kilos, obviously same height, 4XL clothing. Still till today, I still like do this quite a bit, which is like just insecurities because you don't want to have a pudgy stomach. But of course, for me, I decided to work hard and try to lose all the weight I'd managed to do. So gaining a bit back, you know how life is, I'm sure, because you're a personal trainer, right?
Yes.
So you've got so many people where they've gone on the journey, you've worked hard together, you kind of let them go for a bit, and then they come back to you a few months later, sorry, mate, I put it on back again. So it's like, I find it very difficult to maintain, I guess. But for me, I'm at a state where I'm very happy. I kind of look at myself in the mirror now and I'm happy with it, compared to back in the days, didn't want to see a mirror. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like whatever I put on, it just has to fit. It doesn't necessarily mean I have to look good. But I feel like that was because of society. And I feel like people looking around, and my parents were very hard on me in terms of my weight. They always used to make jokes and whatever, whatever. But that's fine, because obviously it's my household and I can understand what it is now. But it's like a thing where my mom would always be like to me, you don't look good if you look like this. My dad, we used to go to the gym all the time. So he'd be like, look how I look. I'm much older than you, et cetera. I can run faster than you. So it's like, I feel like those kind of things just seep doubt through your head. And obviously not only my story, because I'm sure a lot of people had that same story. But how could you tell somebody like me, because I'm sure you've been fit your whole life potentially, or no?
I actually had a transformation myself.
Respect to you.
However, I just came from the opposite end.
Yes.
So I was very skinny.
Oh, yep.
My parents would say the same thing. Look at you. You need to put on weight. Yeah, you're not going to be able to play sport. Like it impacted when I played football and stuff like this. I'd be getting barged like no tomorrow. Flying.
Yeah, just
corner flag. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
By people like him.
I wouldn't get to him.
No, do you know what? Anyone could have pushed me and I would have gone flying. It was that bad. So again, I think it's about, you said it yourself, it's how you feel. And I think sometimes negative comments and other people can really impact you. And that's obviously like unfortunate.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like, and what I did is I used it as fuel. So when I went gym, it sounds so silly. When I was doing like bench or something, I'd think of what someone said to me. And you see that rep, I'm thinking about what you said and I'm pushing. So I feel like my angle with clients is how can you utilize the negativity and maybe recycle it into something positive and use it to get you out of the scenario that you're in. And that's what I mean is even the negatives are in your control if you allow them to be used in the right way.
So question for both of you, how did you feel when you first hit the gym? Because I know I was quite self-conscious when I first, you know, when you're first doing the rep and the big muscular guy is next to you and he's looking at you like, look at you.
Joke, man, yeah. I can't lie to you. For me, luckily I had a personal trainer, someone like you that was by my side. So it was like a thing where he was very good on the mental side of things before the physical side of things, because like he'd let me know that it's, and I'll be honest, I was very lucky to have a gym at my house anyway. So I didn't have to kind of quote unquote embarrass myself, because that's what it feels like. Of course it's not going to a public gym. And I only started to go to public gyms when I was much slimmer, but I was lucky, like I said, to have that. And so I didn't really think, I remember just my first ever run, like I said, with Kyle, it was a 1K run. And bear in mind, I've never done running before in my life. I got to 0.7 and it was a slow jog, and my lower back was finished, my knees were down, my Achilles were down, and I started crying because I was like, I'm so far off, it's embarrassing. And my boy literally carried me back, because he was very strong, and carried me back and be like, don't worry, it's fine, we'll go back again. So he was kind of like that driving force for me. But the people watching at home, because obviously there's going to be people that are on my side of the spectrum where they're too big and they feel like they need to lose weight, your side of the spectrum that are too slim and like want to change, but maybe don't have that mental strength, because I feel like it's the mental strength just to get up and go to the gym and actually work on something. What have you got to say to people back home, man?
I think the key is to visualize who you want to be and sort of reverse engineer how they think and what they do. So many people have such a big gap between who they are right now and they think, how the hell am I going to get here? Actually, what I found is I wanted to be, say, this Luke now. How does he think? What does he do? Does he go to the gym? Does he eat well? How does he think about life? Who does he hang around with that could positively impact him? Who does he block out that negatively impacts him? And I think when you piece that out in almost like a bit of a plan, you can start acting like that person today. You can. And there is a big gap. But as you said, once you understand what you need to do and follow that plan, you slowly will build the bricks to become that person. And it could take a year. I mean, how long was your transformation?
15 months.
It's a long time,
yeah.
But you did it. Yeah. And I think it's that. It's about the journey, not the destination.
Yeah.
And as long as you're following those small steps, it'll be worth it.
It's also one of those things where a lot of people will only have seen you at the end of your transformation. Also, because you did something COVID, right?
Yeah.
So you sort of stepped out and it was like, oh, look, he got, you know, he lost a bit of weight. Yeah. But they don't see all the work that goes into it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people will try to skip the stage where they run the 1K or where they pick up the twos and they'll do a 5 or a 10K and go, can't do it, and give up.
Yeah.
Whereas you both tell stories about the little gains.
Yeah, but
yeah, I mean, success is the sum of small efforts made day in, day out, right? And that's why I said brick by brick. And I think it's about understanding it's the small things daily, the small habits that make the big changes. And I think that's where people can potentially go wrong. As you said, where they try and do a 10K or a 5K, they haven't even done the 0.7 yet. You've got to feel that 0.7, get through it, then the one, then the two. And that's what I mean, it's in your control.
There you go,
Luke,
man.
That was inspirational. I feel motivated now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
For people that want to see a full episode potentially with Luke, let me know in the comments and we can speak about something gym related, because of course you're a personal trainer. So I'm sure we can get to the nitty gritty, but that has been the full episode today.
Amazing stuff.
I didn't actually buzz anyone, so that means that everybody had something interesting to say. Again, let me know in the comments down below who's your favorite out today and we could potentially do a full episode. But Luke, thank you so much, bro.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Cheers.